from about my house down, and it will stand very much over them, quite literally overshadowing, as you've seen from the diagrams, but also as a matter of streetscape, sort of hovering above the zone, the residential zone in which I live and my neighbours live. I also talked to you briefly about solar access and seeing the sky from my home, and I won't go on about that again. Just very quickly, what's planned inside the venue, if I may continue, is going to start, it would seem, at 7 a.m. and finish at 10 p.m. Delivery trucks will no doubt start at 7. The live music will continue until 10. My neighbour Nicole spoke to you about the introduction of 100 people, or 120 if you count staff, onto site, the reduction of parking that the development proposes from 10 spots to now 3. My other neighbour Gareth spoke to you about the noise that we've already experienced on with the present site, and how we expect to receive that, have that noise come back to us again. So look, that's all I really wanted to say to you. For me, it's about amenity. The site is pushed to the maximum in terms of the building envelope, and that is acceptable within the area, but it's not a business park in a wilderness. It's a business park in amongst a residential area.
Thank you. Any questions from the panel?
Thank you very much for listening.
Okay. Now we have who's going to speak first, Mr. Jung or Mr. McNamara?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Daniel McNamara, consultant town planner, and I've also got Danny Jung, a registered architect for the project, answer any questions. I guess just in opening to respond to a couple of the concerns raised by the council, by the objectors, and outlined and addressed within the report, is that the developer of the current site did attempt a mixed-use development that was described before and ultimately refused by the court on the principal basis of the mix of residential within that development. As this is a B7 business park zone, there is only a limited amount of residential development permissible on the zone, and the zone objectives strongly encourage business type uses, including restaurants and artisan food and drink premises, which is the part of this application. We've worked with council, submitted necessary reports addressing things such as the hours of operation, acoustic impacts. The building essentially opens, including the loading area and the operation of the premises, to Gladstone Street and not to Phillip Lane at the rear. So most of the noise, if it was to emanate from the open doors of the premises, which would be closed during operating hours, etc., would be to Gladstone Street. It sort of turns its back, in a sense, to the Phillip Street residential properties, and retains some of the existing structure that's also located along there, including the graffiti wall you would have seen on site today, which is, in our sense, we sort of assumed added to the character of the laneway and that part of the precinct. So by way of management of the compliance with conditions for odour, for noise and for hours of operation, we expect our tenants to be a good manager of the premises, and subject to compliance with council's recommended conditions of consent, we would otherwise endorse the recommendation by council and also accept the deferred commencement conditions that have been put forward, and otherwise ask if the panel has any questions between myself and Danny, we'd be happy to answer.
Just wondering your thoughts on the shortfall of car parking, and also a significant shortfall or non sort of response to bicycle parking and end of trip facilities.
Yeah.
Either.
Yeah, the facility is located essentially within 500 metres of the railway station, Newtown Railway Station. Through discussions with council about the total number of car parking spaces required upon the site and our own traffic analysis, it's essentially an area where there's a very high degree of accessibility, and it was encouraged by council, or accepted by council, that a reduced rate would be appropriate in this locality, And in a sense, I mean, that encourages people to use alternative methods of transport to, you know, to access the facility, which we'd strongly encourage. If there was some further necessity, I mean, the end of trip facilities, there are sort of very few staff in this sort of facility that operate the brewery. A larger number maybe on short term or shift work to work within the restaurant and serving within that restaurant component of the development. But if that was seen as critical to the success of the development, although it's not a council requirement, it's something we could review, and we could definitely make provision for some additional bicycle spaces if necessary upon the premises.
The council requirement for bicycle parking is 12 on page 562.
Mm-hmm.
So they do have requirements for it.
Yep.
Mr. McNamara, you heard Ms. Fairskye suggest that the appropriate hours should be similar to Young Henry's, which are 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. What do you say to that?
As part of our proposals for artisan food and drink premises, and that definition by virtue requires one element of the following: either a retail premises, sort of like a cellar door, or a restaurant to be included as part of that facility.
Yes, we're aware of that.
So we've provided a restaurant, similar to other businesses within the B7 business zone and along Gladstone Street, as the site's being redeveloped. 2A has recently been redeveloped with commercial premises, or the availability of commercial premises on the ground floor. There's an application before council for development at, I think, 2A. But the business zone encourages and allows for the provision of restaurants within the precinct, and I think the operating hours suggested are appropriate, subject to appropriate management.
When we were on site, we looked at the streetscape in Gladstone Street, and we saw the existing trees along the Gladstone Street boundary of the site. Mm. And they seem to offer quite a pleasant streetscape, if you like, intervention amongst all of the larger buildings. Now, your proposal is to knock all them over and bring your building out to the boundary and take it up very high and present a wall to the street. Now, you're talking about greening that with vegetation or something, are you? And what's the likely success of that?
Yeah, if I can ask Danny, the architect, to respond to the green wall, but in response to the location of the building and its setback, the setback is essentially compliant with the business zone. The business zone asks...
We understand that. We're looking at streetscape.
Okay.
And also the relationship to the adjoining terrace houses.
Yep, and I understand.
And that mixed quality of residential and, if you like, light industrial or commercial in that precinct.
Again, I'll let Danny answer the green wall and his success with other projects in providing that, and that's something that's been negotiated with council, I guess. Mm. The deferred commencement condition that council's recommended, we've happily accepted. In terms of the upper level setback at level one adjacent to the residential, to provide an interface to that remnant sort of residential component of the business zone. Mm. But in terms of the green wall, I'll let Danny respond.
Hi panel. In terms of the green wall, I think when we got the request from council, that was two options that we actually suggested. So the first option is actually a green wall. The other option is actually more like a graffiti wall. So I think to actually just compensate, we lost the tree. So a green wall will be more lively onto the brick wall that we're trying to present. So it will soften it up with the industrial look of the building.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, the other intensification that we see at the moment, it's light commercial or light industrial, and there's quite an amount of vehicle parking within the front setback on Gladstone Street. And then we had a look in Phillip Lane and the surrounding areas, and of course the local residents showed us the parking problems they have there. And it seemed that the restaurant, just counting the seats that you've shown there, it's over 100 people, and because you've spread everything out so much, it could just as easily be 200 people. So it's bringing a considerable extra number of people into the locality, which can be good for business but bad for local amenity. So we're concerned that you're only providing 3 car spaces on site. Normally you'd have to provide quite a few more than that. And so you're not even reaching the parking the existing parking that's available on site. How did you think about the parking? Because I hear you say your discussions with council, they thought there should be a concession because of the proximity to the railway station, but I don't know that the panel necessarily thinks that way in terms of an area that's already obviously got big parking problems. And although it's good to have redevelopment and new employment and new entertainment facilities, there has to be a consideration of their impact upon a high-density environment such as this.
And just as you answer the Chair's question, if you can also add, I note that the plan of management has a maximum 100 patrons within the restaurant area, but the plan of management makes no mention in relation to what you said in relation to the railway station. It only refers to pick up by taxis and that no on-site car parking is provided for the use of patrons, but that car parking is located on street in Gladstone Street, and it's all the rest of it's around taxi pickup. So if you could add that to what the Chair's saying as well.
Can I just add another factor? The requirement for car spaces was based on the light industrial rate rather than restaurant or brewery or commercial. And we did also get staff to give us some information, advice about if the proposal was considered as a commercial or restaurant, what the actual parking rate would be. I understand it's quite a bit higher, and I just wondered if staff could summarise that, please, the parking requirements based on restaurant and brewery type use. Thanks.
Under the Marrickville DCP, a restaurant is required to provide one space for every 100 square metres of gross floor area. The restaurant in this instance is approximately 400 square metres. It should then therefore supply 4 additional car parking spaces in addition to the 3 for staff. I believe the 3 for staff is also the lower end of the scale, not the higher end of the scale. Overall, there would be a deficit of somewhere between 7 to 9 spaces. That would potentially depend on whether some elements of the restaurant overlapped with some elements of the brewery.
I guess that could be determined on the shift, you know, the split with the brewery and the restaurant. There's some overlap in the hours, but the two functions are quite separate. So,
understand, I guess, I'm a town planner and not a traffic engineer, but an operational management plan was submitted with the application, and so to a traffic impact assessment. Council, as I said, has reasonably low car parking rates, and as we're in sort of area one or parking area one identified within the DCP, it does encourage the use of public transport. We're within 500 metres, which is about 6 or 7 metres walk of the railway station. The only thing I could suggest, you know, and it may be by deferred commencement condition of consent, might be the implementation in addition to an operational plan of management and the way we run the business might be a green travel plan or similar that encourages patrons, both staff and patrons of the facility. If not the first time they come, obviously, you know, the next time they're able to come to the facility to understand, you know, through active promotion of those alternate options of transport, that the patrons of the facility be encouraged to use those alternate methods of transport. As I said, this has been a matter that through the development application, the application's been amended to provide this number of car parking spaces that Council's traffic engineer was comfortable with. We were happy to abide by that recommendation and provide that number and accept any additional conditions the panel might offer in terms of encouraging alternative transport.
Through you, Mr. Chair. It's probably not so much a question, but one of my major concerns is around the interface, and the Chair mentioned that earlier in terms of, in particular from the, I'll call it the rear lane at the back, and I recognise the zoning in the area, which has obviously got warehouse terraces, it can go down terraces around Gladstone Street, but particularly for me, and obviously some of the people that spoke earlier raised as well, that rear interface, the height and how we are, I understand why you've put the site the way you have with the rear trying to minimise noise, etc., but I don't think it's been sufficiently sympathetic from my view in terms of what actually occurs in that street with the rear access property and a number of their outdoor living spaces. It directly impacts on that. So do you have any comment in relation to that at all?
In terms of impact in terms of visual bulk, I mean, I think we've shown the overshadowing impacts are limited and provide for the necessary requirements to those rear yards and active spaces.
Certainly it does, but yep. There's a difference between bulk and scale versus walking straight out to a brick wall. There is a really big impact on that directly too, and it's only a short distance, as you can appreciate, that they are going out, and even from first level, straight into a brick wall. So about the sympathy associated with those rear properties, if you had any comment around that.
It hasn't been raised. I mean, if Danny wants to try to jump in, but it's something that we believed, as you said, sort of formed a defence to the rear neighbours. The previous application included a bulk and scale that included sort of windows and a more lively and active frontage, but then there were concerns with privacy. So the developer took a very defensive and brutalist sort of approach to that by leaving sort of the activation. And to remember, this is a laneway that services garages, that serves, you know, the back of a commercial precinct. We took the approach of providing, as I said, that defensive approach in part to address the concerns that were raised by a previous application. We've left the graffiti wall there as a sort of homage to, you know, the existing streetscape and retain parts of those elements. I mean, there could be some further articulation made in that rear wall or non-operable windows or something like that if some additional fenestration sort of benefited the design. I guess from our point of view, we are, as I said, within the envelope, although it is towards the upper end of the envelope that's permitted. The council controls, you know, have a maximum 14 metre height limit and encourage that these buildings create a street wall, but I understand your concern in terms of articulation or perhaps activation. But as I said, the developer, you know, took on board the reasons for refusal of the previous application and tried to provide something that addressed that.
And I can understand that, and which was quite a different application. Was a consideration ever given to a basement level at all? To address a few of the issues that have been raised here, and obviously reduce height, which I know fits within the envelope, but obviously has an impact, and car parking, obviously.
Yep. To answer just the height, I mean, the height is to maximise the working area of the brewery within the height limits, to give the greatest amount of volume for the largest sort of, you know, vats, the largest pallet racking, etc. available, working within the constraints of the site and the height limits and setbacks imposed. It was through discussion with our traffic engineer and then with council, you know, in terms of creating parking and putting parking on site almost invites people to site and to drive to site
by limiting the number of car parking spaces on site, it creates an atmosphere where, well, there isn't parking available on that site and it's hard to get parking in that street, so it encourages people onto alternate methods of public transport, and that's sort of enshrined in council's controls for these precincts that have high accessibility to sort of, you know, a restaurant in another area might require one space per 12 square metres or six spaces per 100 square metres, but in this highly accessible area of Newtown where we are, as we've heard from council officers, it only requires one space per 100 square metres for a restaurant if it was a standalone use. In part, this is an ancillary use to the brewery, and we'd work together with council to come up with an appropriate number of car spaces to be provided on site. So if we were forced into additional parking, then we probably would have provided additional parking to meet council's concerns. But we're trying to work with council within the confines of, you know, the development application process to appease the various issues as they've arisen throughout the assessment process.
Thank you. I don't necessarily agree with all of it, but thank you. And it gives me a good context in terms of where you're coming from with it. Thank you.
Just a general comment. It's not part of the development application, but observing on site this morning, the laneway probably needs more explicit signage of no parking. I noticed that there was the signs were largely covered by vegetation, so that actually... graffiti's fine. But, you know, that's a management issue. That's probably something separate, but I just wanted you to, you know, to note that that's the case.
The panel's decided to adjourn to think about its decision. Would you rather do that?
They won't be straightforward.
Well, the other two items... Yeah.
We've got people speaking.
Parramatta Road.
McDonald's and Woolies.
Yeah. I don't... See, they're not going to be easy. We've got a number of people to speak. Yeah, I think we've got to deal with them as we go. The panel is going to adjourn to consider the decision.
Right. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll resume this meeting of the Inner West Local Planning Panel. And it's in relation to item 7 on the agenda, DA20190038 at 1/2C Gladstone Street, Newtown. The panel has had the officer's report for some time, and we visited the site today, and we were struck by, first of all, the age of the locality and the mixed character within it. And as we came along Gladstone Street and saw the site, we were particularly impressed by the variations along the street, which added to the character, part of which was the significant vegetation along the street boundary of the subject site. So when we, and then we noticed, of course, the residential development immediately adjoining and nearby, it's part of that mixed-use character. And we then took out the plans and looked at the perspectives and drawings of the building proposed, and were a bit surprised that the vegetation, which added so much to the streetscape, was going to go, and in place of it was going to be a wall with green vines growing on it. Quite a substantial wall. And then we considered the plans further, and we felt in its locality, it's a fair intensification of what's there now, which is really light industrial uses. And we saw the size of the restaurant. Now, admittedly, there's only 100 seats shown, and the plan of management says that it'll be limited to 100 seats. But obviously the space and the stage in the proposal in that large restaurant area can accommodate far more people than that. So there is capacity in the development for quite a large attraction of people to the proposed food and wine outlet with the boutique brewery facilities inside. Having regard to the bulk of the building, we felt that it didn't contribute, its bulk and size didn't contribute to the richness of the varied scale in this mixed use area with a lot of older buildings in it. It was like a large, fairly plain mass in amongst the textured building, so we felt the trees along Gladstone Street would be of some assistance. We then heard from the local neighbours about parking problems, and we saw photos, which I think everybody understands is part of the problem of living in a high density area, and we realised that this proposal could attract at least some vehicles, including disabled access patrons. And we found ourselves increasingly disagreeing with the staff analysis and recommendations, which put us in a fairly difficult position. because normally we find the staff recommendations, given modification, come to our liking. But in the end, the panel just felt that this development hadn't gone far enough in thinking about its relationship within the urban fabric that it finds around itself, and there was going to be more of an imposition than something that would benefit the locality in its present form. The use doesn't seem... is reasonably acceptable in this location, given a different style of building and a different scale. Therefore, the panel has drafted a decision to refuse the proposal at this time, and I'll read that draft decision and have the panel vote on it. Could you put it up on the screen, please? Thank you. Now, the decision is that the Inner West Local Planning Panel, exercising the functions of the Council as the consent authority pursuant to Section 4.16 of the Environmental Planning and Assessment Act 1979, refuses development application number 2019-00038 for the demolition of part of the premises and to carry out ground and first floor alterations and additions to the building and use the premises as a brewery and restaurant for the following reasons. The panel considers the proposal to have excessive bulk and scale and has an inappropriate transition to the residential properties in the vicinity. It results in the loss of significant trees, and there is a significant shortfall in on-site car parking, including accessible parking and bicycle and end-of-trip facilities. The proposed development is not consistent with the desired future character of the locality. As a result, the proposal should be refused for the following reasons. Romans 1. The proposal does not demonstrate that it satisfies the following clauses of the Marrickville Local Environmental Plan 2011 pursuant to section 4.15 in brackets 1 in brackets A in brackets Romans 1 of the Environmental Planning Assessment Act 1979. A. Clause 1.2b, protecting residential amenity. 2g, preserving the environmental and heritage character of the area. 2H, to promote a high standard of design in the public domain from aims of the plan. Romans 2. The proposal does not demonstrate that it satisfies the following parts of the Marrickville Development Control Plan 2011 pursuant to section 4.15 in brackets 1 in brackets A in brackets Romans 3 of the Environmental Planning and Assessment Act 1979. For the following reasons: A, Part 2.1, urban design; B, Part 2.6, acoustic and visual privacy; C, Part 2.7, solar access and overshadowing; D, Part 2.8, social impact; E, Part 2.9, community safety; F, Part 2.10, parking; G, Part 2.20, tree management; and H, Part 6, industrial development. Romans 3, the proposal has not demonstrated that it will not have any significant social and streetscape impacts on the locality, with particular reference to the adjoining and nearby residential building uses, pursuant to section 4.15 in brackets 1 in brackets B of the Environmental Planning and Assessment Act 1979. Romans 4, the proposal has not demonstrated it is suitable on the site pursuant to section 4.15 in brackets 1 in brackets C of the Environmental Planning and Assessment Act 1979. Romans 5, the proposal has not demonstrated that it has been designed to consider the submissions made pursuant to section 4.15 in brackets 1 in brackets D of the Environmental Planning and Assessment Act 1979. Romans 6, the proposal has not demonstrated to be in the public interest pursuant to section 4.15 in brackets 1 in brackets E of the Environmental Planning and Assessment Act 1979. I think that concludes the draft decision. Can I ask the panel to vote?
Could you go back to the first paragraph of the whole thing? I just need to add brackets in to clarify if you're happy with it.
Yeah.
The first paragraph, and there is a significant shortfall in on-site car parking. Could you add bracket, including accessible parking, and another bracket? And that just breaks it up. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you. Please. Happy to vote on that? Thank you.
Yes. I agree.
Aye.
Thank you. That's a unanimous vote. We'll now pass on to item 8 on the agenda. And that is development application 10.2009.157.2 at 141 Parramatta Road, Haberfield, modification of hours of operation to 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and I believe it's the McDonald's outlet on Parramatta Road between Dalhousie Street and St David's Road at Haberfield. Now, who do I have speaking on that? Yes, we have a few listed here. We've got Nicholas Bron, Errol DiGusto, Malachi Ward, Madeline Perignon, Haberfield Association, Steve O'Connor, planner, and Ben Holden, and Glenn Simmons. Now, we'll take objectors first. Who's the first objector? Nicholas Bron, if you'd like to take a seat. Now, the next one, Errol DiGusto. Are you there? You may as well take the second chair. Thank you, Mr. Braun.
Thank you, the panel. I'll try my best to keep this within 3 minutes, but note that there was over 100 pages of documents that we had to go through for this application. Just want to quickly set the scene. Before McDonald's was at this site, it was a 9-to-5 car showroom. So already we have quite a intensification of the use of that land in terms of how many people are coming to it and what times they're coming to it, up to midnight and then from 5 a.m. We are here because, to some extent, we failed, I think, to put good reasons to the Land Environment Court via the council why this should have not been put together to start with. And certainly we didn't argue well as to why they shouldn't have 24 hours. So they were given a trial, which I think was wrong, given the vicinity of residents. This is a residential area, and the proximity of residents is very close. One of the residents two residents back onto the property, and the entrances are opposite on the Dalhousie roadside, several blocks of flats. I want to deal with the noise assessment, impact assessment report first. To me, the assessment fails to replicate noise that is likely to happen and, in fact, is mentioned in the plan of management with car stereos. They mention how they want them to turn them down, but they don't use car stereos as a measure from which they make their measurements in terms of making the noise impact assessment. So they use a patron yelling at 92 decibels rather than a car stereo, which would be around 110 decibels, plus, of course, the bass from a car stereo penetrates walls more than a patron yelling. Patron yelling, we don't know what direction they were yelling in. So I think that was a flawed methodology that unfortunately hasn't been picked up by the assessing officer. Secondly, I think that the baseline readings were taken from two points. One, the park across the road. Secondly, on the roof of McDonald's next to the equipment plant. So the baseline noise was high. It wasn't taken from where the residential apartments are or from where they recorded the yelling patron, for example. So if you look at the report in the noise impact assessment, you'll see those that doesn't seem